The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of the signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. If I were ever to have called my mother woman and followed it up with, "How does your concern affect me?" bad things would have happened to me, and for a long time. Indeed, it is meant to shock us. In all of Greek literature, only John has anyone call their mother woman. Yet this is extremely important and particularly relevant for this week. We need to look at what Jesus offers us and who can ask him for it. As we have seen looking at the Old Testament readings for the last few months on the email updates, the God of Israel offered his people more than a relationship of obedience to a powerful, if merciful, deity. He offered them intimacy. He wished to share his life with them. In today's reading from Isaiah, God takes Jerusalem as his bride. Indeed, he calls her espoused. This intimacy was expressed as a great heavenly banquet many times in the Old Testament, of which wine was the key ingredient. Amos tells us that a time will come when the mountain shall drip sweet wine and the hills shall flow with it. But that time has not arrived, and the people are restless. Now we come to Mary. The picture of Mary in John is not as detailed as in Luke, but they share some similarities. She appears at the beginning of the ministry and at the end. In both cases, she is seen as a faithful disciple. Yet remember the last time that we saw Mary in Luke. It was several weeks ago in the temple when Jesus tells her that he must be about his father's business. As now, despite being the model disciple, she is treated with distance. That is the point. She will not be acting as Jesus' mother. She will be acting as our representative. She is saying to him, "Where is the wine? We have been promised an intimate relationship with Jesus, sorry, with God. When will it begin?" Now, look at what Jesus does, that says, and then does. He says, "My hour has not yet come." Hour here is a technical word. It is John's way of saying Jesus' death and resurrection. Indeed, the entire process of redemption. No prophet could begin this intimacy. No merely human Messiah, but only the God-man, and only by sacrifice. He will not begin out of sentiment or even a request from his mother, but because he has seen a sign that the people, his disciples, are ready. The time, the hour has come. Thus, the importance of Mary. When we said to Jesus that they have no wine, she is saying as well that they have not been fed. We do not have the relationship with God that has been promised. When she tells the servers, "Do whatever he tells you," it is obvious that she is not responding to anything that Jesus has hinted, much less said, but out of faith and trust that now is the hour, now is the time. The people are ready to be fed. Changing the water into wine has many meanings, but the simplest and key is that Jesus now accepts that this is the hour. This is when he begins to save and sustain us. Now, I mentioned that only John has a son call his mother woman. He does this one other time at the crucifixion. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. This is not to be interpreted sentimentally or practically, but strategically. Jesus is forming his people. There is no Pentecost scene in John. This is where the church is born for him. What began at Cana with a promise of intimacy is fulfilled at the cross with the creation of a community. We are meant to learn this lesson every time and place. But this week, we have two sterling examples. Tomorrow, we will celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King. He left a tremendous legacy. And for me, as a clergyman, an important part of that legacy was the letter from a Birmingham jail. I reread it every year at this time and have included a section in this week's email. It was caused by the complaints of some good-willed liberal clergy that Dr. King was pressing too hard for integration and perhaps more pointedly for economic equality. Surely, we, the well-meaning, were on the right side of history, to use that old Marxist phrase. Our hour would come inevitably. Dr. King responded with controlled rage. Like Jesus, he knew that liberation would not come automatically, but by sacrifice. He would know that it occurred when the entire community is strengthened and people are brought together, never one group pitted against another. As we look around us today, there has been a marked decrease in commitment to community. People are encouraged to emphasize their separateness, and to describe themselves in ever-increasing specifics. In that sense, I am a straight, white, European, cis, Christian male who uses the pronouns he and his. I probably didn't get it all in there. If anyone is particularly sensitive about such things, I apologize. But not for the basic point. We're dividing ourselves up far too greatly. That is the kind of reading that leads us to having to explain to a congressman why white nationalism is bad. We are far from seeing our common humanity as the most retrograde segregationist of my youth. And we need a Dr. King to help us to see each other. But that would require a vision, and that would require a sacrifice, and that's not on the horizon. On Tuesday, we remember the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion nationally. The annual March for Life occurred this year on Friday. It may seem to many as an artifact and victim of the culture wars, and perhaps reached its completion in the last presidential election. For many, I assume that it has. But remember, we as Catholics have a different view, often referred to as seamless garment. We believe that pro-life is everything that promotes human life. The homilies which Monsignor Lapinto and I gave last fall on Catholic social teaching emphasized this point. I realize for some people, ad infinitum. It all works together to build the community which Jesus demanded of us, and we must address every issue. A person cannot be pro-life if he or she refuses to see the sufferings of migrants separated from their children at the borders. Nor can one truly uphold social justice if one fights for health care for the poor but ignores the baby in the womb. We hear about people who are doctrinally cafeteria Catholics, for example, may believe the incarnation, but not the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. This is a real problem, but as important, and to look around us perhaps more immediate, are cafeteria Catholics who accept the need to support one group of needy, disadvantaged, or marginalized against another. The community which Jesus calls us to build must be a home for all, from the preborn to the eldest among us. When Mary instructed the servants to fill the jugs with water, she expressed her faith that Jesus could and would give the people of the banquet wine to drink. She also trusted that the disciples that followed her, us, would drink of it as well. We join this banquet table not only at the Eucharist, but when we build communities which reflect the presence of God. This is where we show the kingdom of God in the here and now. It is in this that we will partake in Jesus' hour, if only for a minute.